Most of my favorite childhood memories, there are a lot of great ones. I had a great childhood, a great relationship with my parents. But a lot of my favorite memories involve sports, organized sports, that certainly brought me closer to both my mom and my dad. And whether it was football or baseball and then later tennis and golf, it was a really important part. Well, here's the sad, sad truth. Right now, we've gotten so crazy about our sports that according to one study, nearly 70% of kids under the age of 13 are dropping out because they say it's just not fun anymore. And who do they blame? Well, to some extent, their coaches. But a lot of it has to do with overzealous sports parents that are screaming insults at coaches and referees, also screaming at their kids from the sidelines. Yeah, maybe words of encouragement from our perspective, but that's not how the kids are interpreting it. We've also added into that that the competition doesn't seem to end. Seasons seem to be year-round now, so the training is too. And injuries are taking their toll. And this article in Bridge, Michigan, that came from MindSight today, concludes this way. Instead of improving kids' mental health, being on a sports team in these circumstances can actually be risky, with some young players reporting burnout, depression, anxiety, and even suicidal thinking. How on earth do we put the fun back into it? Who better to talk with than our good friend Mark Ewell, who is the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Guy. Good to be with you again.
Good to have you here. Give us the sense of the state of play here in Michigan. This is a national study that I just quoted, but is it an accurate picture here in Michigan as well, or are we better? Or maybe, God forbid, are we worse?
Well, I can only speak for the school sports space, but something that has been a key for the MHSAA for years has been sportsmanship along with multi-sport athletes. I think what you're seeing now at the youth level is a lot of money has gotten involved. The youth sports industry across our country has become a billion-dollar industry with all of the travel teams and elite club teams and those kinds of things. And what you're seeing now is an awful lot of parents who are investing thousands of dollars for whether it's travel softball or travel ice hockey, whatever that may be. And with that money comes a lot of pressure. It's pressure on their son or daughter that you've got to perform, you've got to make this certain team. And when those things don't happen, well, it's got to be somebody else's fault. It's got to be my child's coach, or it's got to be those referees during the game that isn't giving us that fair shake. The messaging at the school level that we've always had is we think that kids are in better places when they're playing multiple sports, that the year-round treadmill is not good for kids. And this has become such a concern that, now with our mandatory coaches meeting each season, we now have a segment on mental health. What are some of the signs and symptoms if you have young people on your team, with mental health struggles, and what are some of the interventions and things that you can do? We've got a great partnership with the Be Nice group, which is the West Michigan Mental Health Foundation out of Grand Rapids. So we're certainly seeing some of these trends, and unfortunately some of our challenges move into our programs with, kids who start in the youth world.
You know, we've seen some pretty egregious acts of behavior nationally. There was a high school coach that got sprayed in the face with Lysol. We've seen physical assaults, things like that. When those things occur here in Michigan, is there accountability? Are there charges? Are you getting support from law enforcement and from the judicial system?
We are, and we're somewhat fortunate. And again, we've got our share of sportsmanship-related challenges. But what makes us a little bit unique is our programs have real accountability. When a parent does something to a coach or to an official, we've got a mechanism in place where we can address that. Same way with it bad sportsmanship toward officials, and if that's coming from a coach or a player, well, they've got an athletic director that they answer to, who then answers to a principal and the superintendent and a board of education. Sometimes at the youth level, it literally, Guy, is the wild, wild west, to where, a volunteer coach steps up, he or she does whatever they want during the season, and bad behavior, there's very little accountability for that. So thankfully, within the school realm, we haven't seen some of those just terrible situations that just seem to have a way of going viral on social media right now.
There's the intentional acts of aggression, And there's the unintentional and maybe just some fans that are clueless. I recall when my daughter was pitching softball years ago, we had a guy that thought of himself as a ball player who literally stood behind the screen and would yell at my daughter to, come on, throw strikes. Which is the dumbest thing that any fan can say to a pitcher. But I was ready to go kind of kindly, maybe not so kindly, tell him to move himself. And before I could, my daughter asked for him to be removed. I was still so proud of her to this day. But you've got fans that don't understand that what they think of as encouragement is processed entirely differently by the athlete that's out there. How do we address that?
That 100% true. I often say that some of our fans and spectators seem to have an incredibly high standard for the performance of the referee, of the umpire, of their child's coach, but when it comes to their own conduct and behavior during the game, that bar has suddenly got set much, much lower.
Well, then the yardstick is different between the parent and the child, too. The child doesn't always, look upon that as words of encouragement.
It doesn't. And, you know, the thing that we really try and stress is everybody has one role each day. And in most athletic contests really go off without a problem and become quite enjoyable when players play, coaches coach, officials officiate, and parents are supportive in the stands. It's when, you know, that coach tries to wear the hat of both a coach and a referee, or that parent, tries to not only be the parent from the stands, but also wants to coach their kid. Because I'm sure we've all seen that kid during a basketball game, instead of looking to his or her coach, you know, they're looking to mom or dad up in the stands. It's amazing when everybody kind of stays in their lane and does their one job. Most games end up in a pretty good place, and that's a big part of our messaging to everybody involved.
Kids do that even when you aren't coaching from the sidelines.
They can read that body language from mom and dad. It's amazing, though, how some adults, literally, it's like they think they're Tom Izzo or Jim Harbaugh from the third or fourth row. Give your kids some space.
Yeah. I'll plead guilty. Have you seen the study I cited off the top, that 70% of kids before the age of 13 will drop out? Are you seeing that reflected in the talent pool before they get to high school or middle school?
We are. Kids are being forced now to pick a sport, usually their one sport, earlier than they ever have before. And, a lot of times these, neighborhood teams, a dad wants to go through the neighborhood and we're going to put a travel team together of my kids' friends. And some kids then get excluded. What we've also found that, the late single digits into early teenagers, when you get cut from a team, when you're 10, 11, 12, or 13, the data tells us that those kids are never going to come back out.
Yeah.
So many times you get cut as a 10-year-old. Well, you haven't hit puberty yet. You really don't know what you're good at yet. And we really see that on the girls' side, that once a young lady gets cut from a team in a sport, they're never going to go back and give that another try. And to be honest, a lot of times, Guy, that happens before kids get into sixth or seventh grade, which is their first experience in our program. So that's why at the youth level, we encourage kids to play as many sports as possible. Don't pick your one sport. Don't feel that pressure that, when you're 8 years old, you've got to have your news conference and, put on your hat that says, I'm choosing football. I'm being a little sarcastic, obviously.
No,
that's almost how some parents are treating this. And it's like, step back, let your kid try a number of different things. And then as time goes on, they'll figure out what they like and what they're good at. And I just think kids would end up in a much better place that way.
Well, and ignore the sports industrial complex, which tells you you've got to hire a coach. You've got to be a sole sport guy. Yeah. Very quick before I let you go, and I've only got a few seconds, but you've got official issues. You need referees. Make a plea if you'd like to.
The way that everybody can help us keep officials is the next time you're at one of your kids' games or grandkids' games, give that referee the same benefit of the doubt you'd like to give yourself. And it's the way that adults are treating other adults. We've got to try and keep our officials, and it starts with basic common decency and respect. So want to get involved, go to MHSAA.com, click on officials, and we'd love you to join our team.
Well, and if you're also a fan, tell them you appreciate their work, too.
Amen. Thank you goes an awfully long way.
It sure does. Mark, thanks so much.
Pleasure, Guy. Thank you.
All right. Mark Ewell, our executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. New jobs coming to Michigan, but why Michigan? How did we compete, and how did we win? We'll find out next.